So why did I get out of here? I want to do a search of yours.
Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody online.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, that's Auntie Kim. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Auntie Kim.
Yeah. Kim and Ting is on.
Hi, Ting.
Daniel's online.
Daniel's, Daniel's the best.
Oh, he's both online again.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Well, good morning. Why don't we start with a word of prayer and we'll come to the Lord's word together. Come on. Heavenly Father, we come before you on this Sunday, and Pastor James asked earlier, there's something special this weekend or this Sunday, and it is, Lord, because of you, and we're happy to be here. We're excited to be able to worship you through the study of your word and to offer this a day of worship and rest into your hand. We pray that every Sunday school right now that has been going on or is kicking off, Lord, would just magnify your name. Lord, that we would grow in a sense of awareness and knowledge and appreciation, Lord, of who you are and this amazing salvation that you've given to us, this amazing life that you've given to us. And I think about myself for this week, that there are just some times, Lord, where it's hard, and sometimes where everything's like gravy, and I just want to give thanks to you because you are the constant. You are the God who does not change. You are immutable, and that's where we set our hope, Lord, on you. So I thank you, Lord, for that. I pray for our class now. It's our last session taking a look at Psalm 23, and so I pray that you help us to hear what you want us to hear from this. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so let's just read this psalm. Really, we're not studying this psalm. We're looking at the relationship and the characteristic of God, the Lord, our shepherd. So if you have it by memory, some of you already have it in memory. So go ahead and close your eyes, or you can peek a little bit if you want. But some of you already have this by memory because, you know, you've heard this growing up. Let's try to memorize it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Bless the word of the Lord. So we started talking about this question, right? What are some of the things that we know about sheep? Let's see if you guys remember, right? Like Ryan was able to like spit out a lot of this stuff, even in our retreat, because I used a particular concept in there. So tell me what you guys remember about sheep. Go ahead, Clara.
I know that they're kind of like stupid.
Yeah, they're kind of stupid. Yeah, sheep are kind of stupid. What else?
They're followers.
They're what?
They're followers.
They're followers, right. They like to follow. Good. And they'll even follow each other, okay? Right. What else? Anything else? My sheep?
Defenseless.
They're defenseless. They are unable to defend themselves. Okay, yes.
They're easy prey.
They're easy prey. That's right. They're easy prey. Easy pickings. Anything else?
They're trained to listen to the shepherd's voice.
Oh, trained to listen to the shepherd's voice. Good. Okay. Nice. Anything else in the back?
I was going to say they have to be sheared or else their wool gets too heavy.
Too heavy and too matted and parasites grow on them and everything. Yes. Okay, good. Yeah, high maintenance. Anything else?
They'll follow the friend, but then follow
yeah.
towards nothingness.
Yeah, right.
Even.
Yeah, I think that's the funniest thing. They love to follow so much that if any sheep begins to go in a direction, they like to stay together and follow, even if it's not a right decision or a good or wise decision. So what I wanted to do is, I think some of you had said this that day, I want to make these things practical for us, though, okay? So if you can get into a little group and talk about which one of those you relate to the most, if you personally relate to, right? If Clara says sheep are kind of stupid, right? I specifically said that they're not the dumbest of animals, but they're ranking it in that realm. They're in the bottom tier. But you might relate with that in some way, not in terms of like, you know, mental acumen, but maybe, you know, in the sense of wisdom, right? Or whatever. So get into like a little group and think about all these different aspects of sheep and the important thing, because you guys had said this a few weeks ago. One of the criteria in order to call the Lord my shepherd is that I have to be able to humbly see myself as a sheep, right? That's a big concept that I'm not sure if we really embrace, right? I shared in our youth retreat that David has gone from little shepherd boy all the way to a king. We don't know when he wrote this psalm. It could have been before, after Goliath. We don't know when. I mean, this guy's got it all, and yet he sees himself as a sheep. And he's seen all of these qualities of the sheep. He's seen them because he's been a shepherd for so many years. And so he's able to say, I am like that lowly, like a sheep. When you have that type of humility, you're able to truly identify like the Lord Yahweh is my shepherd. Okay, so take a moment in like a little group, just a small group, and then share which one of those few, right? It doesn't have to be just one, just like whatever it may be. Yeah, I tend to follow and I don't follow the right people sometimes or whatever, you know? Okay, does that make sense? All right, into your group. All right, let me.
I need to be groomed and then that, and then like.
I'd like to hear some of the personal sharing if it's okay. Anybody want to share a little bit? Like, what do you guys think? Anybody humble enough? What do you guys? The humble group.
Bible's like easy to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like a lot of people like to use me for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You like homework or food because they know that I like what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people I feel like are my friend just so they can get food from me for lunch. Because
wow.
I want to say no.
Yeah.
Or I'll say no, but like.
That's a yes.
Well, I want
to. You can have it read up.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about you, Ryan?
I said that I follow a lot because, like, especially like when someone else does something, I want to do it too.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm like, even like, you know, when there's like school fight, Me and my friends, we literally say, yep, we're sheep.
Oh.
We like literally say, I'm a sheep.
Oh, really? To go and follow.
Follow the fight. Everyone's like, run, go and watch the fight.
Go watch the fight.
You like literally just like follow.
Okay, so you follow. So part of sheep, we said, is there's a good quality of following, right? Because following is a good quality. But we joked about the other week that if one sheep begins to lead, the other sheep will begin to follow them either aimlessly or into a bad situation, right? Like jumping off a cliff, right? They'll just like start to follow each other. And do you see both sides of that? And that's a good, that's your quality, though, that you can say the Lord is my shepherd, I follow him. Or is it also, I follow other people? Okay, being honest. Anybody else? Here in the back table, too?
Okay. I shared that, like, I don't have a good, like, you know, I don't, like, actually in life, like, I'm not great at navigating, like, actually driving
what?
And navigating.
Oh, navigating, yeah.
But, you know, I'll have to look up in Google Maps and, like, reorient myself, like, once in a while. I don't have, like, a natural, like, oh, this is north.
Okay.
I know, like, where south is, like, all the time, you know. I'm always, like, kind of making sure I'm not turning around in real life. But and personally, too, I think I, like, don't quite trust my, like, internal GPS as much anymore as when I was younger, and like I know that I need God to like navigate for me, otherwise I always end up not quite where I
right in life decisions, right?
Yeah, okay, good.
Also directionally.
Direction challenge. That's a phrase that I use up here. Direction sheep are directionally challenged. Okay, anybody else? Around the U table here.
Yeah. So one of them, the sheep is they don't have good eyesight.
Yeah.
So and there's nothing they can do about it, really. It's not like
you have sheep glasses.
Hear better, you know. Yeah. Maybe hear the shepherd's voice, but like eyesight, there's nothing they can do. So I feel like for me, it's the short-sightedness versus the shepherd's vision. Like, even if I try, I can't. I need the shepherd to lead me, right? Like, I can't see. Like,
beyond.
There's no ability. It's not even in me to see.
That's good.
Because it's short. I'm built that way.
Yes. Yeah. Short-sighted, nearsighted. Only the shepherd, you said, sees.
Can see it all. So
like everything.
So in order to get there, you kind of have to follow.
Yeah.
Because you can't. Like,
yeah.
There's no ability
yeah.
to at all.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, last call. Anybody else? Okay. I like that. I wanted to share with you something that I shared with our youth retreat. Because when I was studying this a particular week, it really struck me. As I was just researching sheep, and I have this one book. It's actually a Christian, I don't think he's a pastor, but he's a Christian who became a shepherd in like Australia or whatever. And he saw all the parallels and he wrote this book about it. So I was reading through that, but also I read on like the non-Christian, like sheep herding or you know, shepherding. Websites, there's like Sheep 101, you know, that's a like a big website. It gives you a lot of like information on sheep, not from a Christian perspective, it's just from like, and one of the things that really struck me was when sheep lie down, it's very tricky. Sheep, number one, don't easily lie down. But two, when they lie down, they have to be very careful. They have to be in the right position to be able to get back up. I showed a picture to the youth. It's a very cute picture of a sheep like on its back. And it looks super cute, and everyone's, oh, how cute. And I'm like, it looks really cute, right? But it's actually in a very dangerous position. Because of the fact that they are animals that regurgitate, I think there's a name for that, like they're ruminators or something like that. They ruminate. So basically, they take their, they chew on the grass, they swallow it. There's four parts of their stomach. The different acids will break it down, then they like, you know, like regurgitate it up and chew it again for a long time to break down the fibers more. Swallow again, acids come in, right? And so what happens is because you're a regurgitator, you have a lot of gases going, like acid and gases going on in your system. And if the sheep lay down a little bit too far and they tip over, either because it's an or because its wool is too big and heavy, if it gets like slightly off and it tips over, it can't get back up. And the danger is, like Abby had said, one, you're easy prey. Now you're even easier prey because you can't move, right? Any coyote passing by is like, dude, lamb chops for dinner right here, right? But two, even without predators, the gas buildup, the bloating, has killed sheep from being in that very precarious situation. And you know, when I was reading about this, I was like, oh man, crazy, I never knew this. And then it said, the old English phrase for this, get this, it's called being passed down. And I'm like, whoa. So when a sheep is in a dangerous position and it cannot get back up, because it cannot by itself get back up, it's called being cast down. Right? That's crazy. That really struck me. And the very first verse that I thought of, The very first thing I thought of was Psalm 43, where it says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Right? Because I'm like, that's the first biblical verse that I think of, or the first like concept that came to my mind. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. This picture of a sheep being cast down is an interesting one. And I wonder if how we might be able to relate with it. We're able to relate with sheep that are directionalists, that are easy prey, that are you guys in the word together? All right, good. Right? Good, Ryan. See, he's like looking into the original Hebrew of that word. We can relate with sheep because we follow. How can a person relate with a sheep that's cast down? Any thoughts on that?
You have to get to a point where you can't get up.
You get to a point where you can't get up. I've fallen and I can't get up.
Yes. And I think not everybody has gotten to that point.
Yeah.
Or if they have, they've been able to pick themselves up.
So then you weren't truly cast
down. Weren't truly.
Because that the old English term, which is still used today, of a sheep that's cast or cast down, is like the shepherds run to those sheep. They don't like take their time. That's like so dangerous. The shepherds run. And that's another picture of like leaving the 99. I shared when I was reading about this. It's not always that one sheep wanders off and gets lost or left behind because their tendency to follow, right? So they, you know, their eyes are kind of on the side of their head, and right? So it's kind of weird. When Nancy said that bad eyesight, like, how do you do glasses on that, you know? But when you read on this, it's not so much that the sheep, like one just wanders off by itself and goes like get lost in a thicket, like we think. A lot of times it's when a sheep was lying down and went too far over on one side and was cast down, then the rest of the sheep leave with the shepherd, right? And so when a sheep is cast down, there's so much urgency in the heart of the shepherd to say, I must go find that lost sheep. I must. And they are running. They're running around. Of course, they're going to pace themselves, but they describe running. Same thing with another website that I was reading. A guy who's a shepherd, even for a predator, same thing. Like when they hear predators, their rifle's always next to them. And they'll just like run outside because they are such natural protectors of their sheep, right? So when one is cast down, they know it's not just because they're lost, it's because they're lost and they could forever perish, right? You see that? Like you're in a bad situation and there's rescue for you, right? That's really interesting. And so I wanted to, let's keep moving on so I can tell, lose track of time here. So really, I liked our discussion 2 weeks ago and that helped me to lead to this point. Sheep are nearly 100% dependent on their shepherd. And I'll tell you, I think that's a challenge for us. We are fairly dependent people. You know, you learn it since you're young, like that table right there, that little girl right there, right? Like you learn from your young, this type of dependency, independency. It's hard to fully say, I am so dependent on God. Because you're like, after a while, you know, students are like, I can figure out how to study, I can do this. Maybe in the beginning when you struggle, sometimes you're praying really hard, and after a while you're like, I figured it out. And that repeats itself in different scenarios in life, and you become more and more able to sustain yourself. You're able to fix the problems you encounter. You're able to deal with the different problems because you've been able to resolve it. And so this is something that I just want to put out as a challenge for us. Do we really view ourselves as weak and as dependent as a sheep on our shepherd? Can we really say, the Lord, you are my shepherd who I depend on. I depend on you. I really want to follow you. If I'm Ryan, I'd be saying, Lord, I have a tendency to follow the wrong people. God, I want to see you as my shepherd who I will follow. I want to follow your leading in my life. Right? Does it make sense? Okay. So in that sense, if he is your shepherd, you're like, I have no needs if I know that my shepherd will lead me. Like Nancy said, if I know and I believe I cannot see far, I can't see the bigger picture, then all my needs are covered. I shall not want. I can trust that much in my shepherd. All right, someone read verse 2 for me and 3. Let's read it together. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. We've read this so many times. I got stuck on he restores my soul, especially after I read about the cast down soul. Right? A sheep that's cast down. And you have a verse 3 that says, he restores my soul. I have a question for you. This is what I want us to think about a little bit right now. Okay, so get into a group. And the question is, what do you think has happened to a soul that needs restoring? This might be a little hard for us. We don't always think about the soul. We can easily think about our physical body, and we can easily think about maybe our mind, You know, mental health is a growing, something of growing awareness for us, our mental health, our physical health. Depending if you're a dichotomous or trichotomous, whether or not you have a spirit and a soul. But today we're just going to talk about that soul that you cannot see. What would have happened to a soul that needs restoring? And I'm going to encourage you, feel free to use a phone to look up the word restore. Because what, because that's what got me thinking too, like, what does restore even mean? Why would the Lord need to restore a soul? And what has happened? So this is going to be, I'm going to leave you guys with a full 5 minutes here to let you guys like think about what happens to a soul. How does that happen where a soul needs to be restored? Okay. All right. I'm going to leave you with that for a second. Getting some deeper waters here. Okay. So get in your groups and okay, so what are some thoughts? Can we go around, or do you want to start from the back this time? Are we on that? Okay, start from the back.
I think when we talk about restoring, it's something went bad. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it will be reform instead mm-hmm. of using restore. Restore mm-hmm. is something that it continues to get worse, so mm-hmm. we want it to go back to the original state.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you guys talk about how a soul can maybe become like that?
Well, that's shared that she has to take part in that, but she would, you know, she shares a really cool, which is like the restoration is God doesn't just, you know, like dig, you know, take you out of the hole that you fell in and mm-hmm. then just take you back, you know, like with all your stores and broken, you know, and he like heals you, he like gently, you know, takes care of you before he releases you back into your situation. So she said she identified this tradition of the soul and like healing as well. And just God's, you know, God taking care of you.
We said kind of like similar to what they said, but we said like specifically restoring was different than like fixing, because like fixing would just be like cleaning up like a wound or something, but restoring is like transforming in a way. And I feel like we're saying kind of like how like when like a soul is like filled with like junk in a way, like we said like one of the things like school or like different people or like things that like are like useless in your life, then like your soul and like restoring, and then like God will like restore, clean, like cleanse and like you said like a refresh kind of for like your soul.
Yeah. Cool. Good, good, thank you. How are you guys in the
back? It said like restores. Like something from the original, like stay in there, not there.
Yeah.
So like there's something that needs to be done to get it back to the original.
Right. Something needs to be done. Right. Okay. Good. You think that?
So my response was restoration of the soul to me is not outer circumstances. So it's not like, oh, I don't have a job, but I got a job. Oh, yay, my soul is restored. Or I didn't get into this school, but oh, hey, I got into this school that I want, or I got the grade that I want, right? So it's not, to me, it's not the outer circumstance. To me, it's where your heart is. Like, is your heart on the school, on the job, or is your heart closer to Jesus, right? German speaking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to me, when a soul needs to be restored, it needs to be brought back to Jesus. And because my heart was so focused on money, on the school, the job, or the grade, right? That the more I'm away from Jesus and the more I'm pursuing these things, these worldly things, the more restoring I need of the soul. Because restoring the soul, my initial response is, I need to get back to Jesus.
Yeah, no, it's like, you know, it's saying, like, he restores my soul. He's the only one who can restore a soul, right?
Okay, good.
The psalm, you know, I think a lot of times, I was thinking about, like, sickness, you know? I think many of us know what it's like to experience a bad sickness. Who has before gotten sick and it's like really bad? Yeah, okay, so just a few of us. And I don't know if you've ever thought when you're sick, like, I just want to be back to regular. I don't know if you ever felt that way.
Yes.
But did you know that you can have a sickness of your soul, where your soul is sick? And there are obviously many different reasons. I wanted to explore that. I don't think we have time to do that today, but for whatever reason, your soul is down. It's not feeling good. There's a soul sickness and you long to be brought back into spiritual health, a spiritual energy that you know it's not just circumstantial, right? Like, nobody gets sad if you're going to go on a trip to the Bahamas, you know, or if you want a new car, you know, or you got accepted to a phenomenal school in the program that you did. Nobody gets like sad at that. Like, that's kind of normal to have a sense of excitement. What our youth, the video that Rebs sent us that we showed to our youth last night, which I think there's a lot of good feedback to, was 15 seconds. You feel 15 seconds of like real goodness when you get what you wanted. But it's that 16th second that you're like, what did I sacrifice to achieve that, to get that, right? But when your soul is sick and your soul is down and you're longing to be brought back to spiritual vigor, the longing of this soul needs to be restored. It needs to be brought back to that state. And only Jehovah Rohi can do that, right? Here's a quote from the book, right? It's pretty crazy here. So this is the book that I was talking about. It's written in 1976. I got this book from my grandma, you know? My grandma, like, I had tons of crazy cool books that nobody talks about today from my grandma. But she also reads, like, you know, she read like Judah Smith, who's like super contemporary. But he said this: due to their very makeup, it is almost impossible for a sheep to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. This is speaking from a shepherd, right? Due to their timidity, they must be free from all fear. Because of their sociability, they must be free from friction with others of their kind. Because, three, they must be free from flies, parasites, or nuisances if they're to relax. And they need to be free from hunger, otherwise they won't lie down. Basically, this picture of the psalmist saying, he makes me lie down. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The shepherd has to intervene many times in order to bring rest to the sheep. Think about what I just said again. The shepherd has to intervene many times, even to give the sheep rest. So whether it's like Reb said, that the wool's too heavy, or it's too nappy, or too dirty, and it needs to be shaved off, is sheared off, right? Like Ryan wants to shear his head, his hair off, right? Whether it's to take care of the flies, the parasites, this or that. Whether it's friction among your fellow sheep. The shepherd, I saw a video where the shepherd will stand between them to ensure they come to like a peaceful state, so they don't keep agitating each other. So the shepherd, you see this picture of him walking among his sheep. Oftentimes, I was sharing with the youth, you know, when the flock is like manageable enough, they name each sheep. They know each sheep, what they look like, their names, they count them. You know, that's a thing. Shepherd will count the sheep to make sure that the right number is there, and that one's not cast off. And whatever it is, the shepherd is right in the midst. And this picture, the way that God restores our soul by making us lie down to sleep. What do you think about that verb? He makes me lie down in green pastures.
We don't know when to rest.
We don't know when to rest. Yeah. And what's significant about the word makes me?
Kind of forces.
You know what I thought at first? I was like, I remember even with Bethany when she was like a baby or a little bit older, I don't, you know, even toddler. And she can't stop moving, right? She has this thing where she's just always moving, climbing up and down, like just, and then she's like a little sweaty, but she's like moving around, her hair sticking to her face, she just can't stop moving. And you know, it's afternoon. She needs a rest, right? And so what do? On a Sunday afternoon while I'm sweating too, I hold her and I hold her really tight. I make her stop moving. She's like trying to be like Houdini, trying to get out of this, right? She's struggling to get out and I'm holding her because I'm stronger than her. And so I'll hold her until she's like, until she passes out. Until she, you feel, yeah, she dies. Chokehold. The shepherd, the dad shepherd, feels her begin to release. And then she knocks out. Right? That's the first thing I thought about, making me lie down. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So not only does he find green pastures, right? He wants you to, so he's wanting you to rest in a nice environment, right? A spiritual environment for your soul. And he knows you need rest. So he's making you lie down. I also think of the sense that, you know, after, you know, I chokehold Bethany out, then I, you know, if we're at home, then we lay her down. Or if I'm at church in the meetings, and then that we used to have for like 10 hours, so I'd be like, okay, I'm going to lay her down on the pew. And I'm going to make sure she's positioned in all the right ways. Right? My parents made sure in me that I didn't sleep on the back of my head. Because my dad said he has his head's the shape of us. Full box because he was laid on the center. So they stressed out with us. Never lay her on her back, you know. So it's always like, okay, like put her arms and she's in the right environment, right? To lay down in her little green pasture of that church pew. Okay? So this is one of the things that I wanted us to see and explore. He not only makes us lie down. What does he do? He leads us beside streams of water, right? So something about the shepherd I want us to recognize first today is you don't really appreciate all that the shepherd has to offer until you begin to see yourself more and more like a sheep. Second, when you look at the descriptions, even here in the psalm, the shepherd is so not just caring, but almost like over caring for the sheep. They're so aware of each of the situations of their sheep, and the sheep are most comforted only by the shepherd. They don't get comforted by themselves. They're comforted when they know the shepherd's walking in their midst, right? When they're following the shepherd, when the shepherd's tending to them. And so I want us to reflect on, in what ways are the is a shepherd tending to you today that you need to give thanks for, that you need to appreciate, that you need to say, thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd, right? Because I think a lot of times sheep are probably like, you know, they're stupid, like Clara said. They're probably not that grateful, but there's something going on inside of them that helps them to be still and to be made to lie down, that they're soothed because of what the shepherd has done. But for us, God's given us awareness that we can actually think about and say, God, thank you so much for allowing me to rest, to make me lie down, to set me up in good environments. And I want to thank you, Lord, for that. Okay. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning again, and there's so much more, Lord, that we can look at, but that seems to always be the case, Lord, that there's so much more to learn about who you are, and each of these names that we explore gives us more and more layers of your love, your providential care, your awareness of all of our needs, you're tending to us, you're walking in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for being our Jehovah Rohi today. And we are hoping that we would find ourselves more and more able to identify with sheep so that we can truly call you our shepherd. We thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.